brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus, in that name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses, He indeed is Lord. And in that name, I greet you. Forgive me, for my voice is a little bit off. Been a slightly bit under the weather recently, but I'm on the upswing, so bear with me a little bit today, as my voice is not all of what it is usually, but maybe you like it. I don't know. Anyway, okay. Hey, grab your Bibles. Grab your Bibles, and let's go to Acts chapter 19. And let's start in verse number 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them, and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. Many of them which also used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. Bless God. Bless the Lord Jesus Christ for the reading of the Word, because He is the Word made flesh. Alright, so, little bit of both history of the early church and early things that were going on in the book of Acts. Now, the book of Acts was written because the apostles acted, because the followers of Christ acted, and as they went out and things were recorded and the power of God was manifest in and through their lives, these are just some of the many things that took place in the early body of Christ. And for those of us that walk with Christ, we live the book of Acts. For those of us that walk with Christ, this isn't something that we necessarily just study. This is something that we experience. So many of the people that I know that are on this path, this is very much part and parcel of the lives that they live while they're in the earth. And we do greater works. We do incredible things because the Spirit of God leads us into them. And as He leads us into them, His Spirit flows through us and results in some just incredible life adventures and experiences as the power of God flows through us. Now, I think this, I wanted to get into this one a little bit today, and I believe God wanted a little time on this, because we live in a day and an age where people are, and I think throughout, you know, the history of mankind, people have been fascinated by and drawn to power. And, you know, there is something in the heart and the mind and the makeup of people to be drawn towards power. Because when we first come into this life, we come into this life and we experience right off the bat limitation. You know, whether that's the limitation of our physical bodies, whether that's the limitation of our understanding, whether that's the limitation of our physical surroundings, whatever it may be, right away we experience limitation. And, you know, and we begin to work within the confines of those limitations as we begin to walk out our lives in the earth. So, you know, you begin as you're born in the body of a baby, and you come forward and you start to grow. And as people progress in their life and in their experience, in some ways they're able to expand on their limitations based on their abilities or based on their persistent pursuit. So, for example, an athlete, you know, most people will be, you know, limited to, you know, run at a certain speed, a 100-meter dash, or 200, or 400, or an 800, or a mile, or swimmer, you know, which is a sport that I did. And you start off at a certain place and you learn the basics, but then as you continue to progress and you continue to push yourself physically, and you start to see great strides initially because you start to improve dramatically at the start, and then as you keep moving forward, those next areas of advancement are more and more difficult to move forward. I don't know if you guys have ever heard about the 80-20 rule, but it's kind of something that's applied to a lot of things in life, whether it's investing or applications or things that you work on. But usually they say that, you know, you get 80% of your results from your first 20% of your effort. And then the balance 20% of your results require the remaining 80% of your effort. So, for example, if you just start doing some basic exercise, you start getting some really good benefits right away. But then if you really want to, you know, get just in incredible shape and really, you know, chisel down or whatever, then that's going to require that extra effort and a lot more than just the initial, just kind of watching what you eat and doing a little bit of exercise off and on. Which will make a big impact on your life compared to doing nothing at all. So, but in the walk of limitation, as people go forward and they start to, first they experience limitation coming into this life. Then they also see that if they do certain things, that they can broaden their areas, where they can expand the ceiling of their limitation, if you would, be it physically or be it mentally. So as they read, as they study, as they progress in a particular school of thought, you know, they've expanded the things that they understand, and with knowledge, you know, comes a degree of power. With knowledge comes a degree. When you expand your understanding, all of a sudden, it's less likely that you're going to be captivated by the limitations that other people are, because you have some understanding that maybe they don't. And likewise, too, people also, this goes to the area of spirituality and people's spiritual experience in this life. Now, here's the thing that starts getting interesting for me, is that, you know, we come into this world And the world that we come into is a world that God has designed and destined for a human experience. Now, we've already established in some of our other podcasts that what we have today is what it is that God wants for us to have today. In some of the earlier ones we discussed Isaiah 45, where it says that where God says very clearly, I created evil. So God created, He created both the light and the dark. He created good and evil. He does all of these things. God created both Cain and Abel. God created the devil as well as Adam and Eve. And God brought, at His good pleasure, His good timing, Jesus came into the earth. All of these things are there to establish the paradigm that we now have. And the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, it's good that I go, because once I leave, the Holy Spirit will come to you, will come upon you, will be in you. You need that no man teach you, for the Holy Spirit will teach you when He comes upon you. So one, we've established that God is the author and the finisher of our faith, and God is the author of the world that we live in right now. Within that design, God is also the one that set the parameters of our experience for while we're here. For example, we come into physical bodies that are limited, and even our DNA is coded with some stuff that keeps us stuck in a very base reality. But in order to be here in this paradigm, we have to be in the body, because to be absent from the body for us is to be present with the Lord. So if we step out of the earth suits that we're in, we no longer exist in this dimension. So that being the case, when people begin walking in and through this life, and they experience a limitation, and then there's a desire within them to expand themselves. And how they go about doing that, and the pursuit that people go with that, power, control, the things that captivate their heart and their attention. Now, in this passage here, what we see is we see Paul in his, in the earlier parts of his ministry, and as he was really getting going, and clarifying to people, who Christ Jesus is, and speaking and preaching the truth. And as he went about doing that, also the power of the Spirit of God flowing through him to do incredible works and incredible spiritual and natural manifestations of the spiritual reality as he would go on and preach the gospel and share the truth with others. Now, here's the thing. If you just saw what was going on in that time through natural human eyes, a lot of people that saw it through the frame of reference that they were coming from. So you remember Simon the sorcerer, when Peter showed up, earlier on in the book of Acts, and this guy used to do all kinds of amazing signs and wonders, but when Peter showed up and started doing the miracles that the Spirit of God was leading him into, Simon realized the difference between the power that was in Peter and the power that was in him. And he knew to default that what was going on with Peter was much, much, much greater than what was flowing through him. So he wanted that power, and he even offered Peter offered him money to try to access, to have that same power, and he wanted that. And Peter said, you know what? I see that you're way off base, and perish your money with you, because you thought that you could buy the gift of God with, through something like that. And you got no part in this ministry. Because, see, here's the thing. There's a set of people in this world that pursue spirituality, but as a means for carnal and human and base motivations. And so, you know, within every person, you are born. Now, while we're born into limitation, we're also born with certain gifts, talents, skills, abilities. These are God-given things. And as God puts these into us, as we come into this life, and you'll see them, you know, early on. Like, recently, you know, I had a chance just to do a small project, you know, where we, you know, played with a bunch of kids. And, you know, even in that, you know, just reminded me of how you can see all these kids, just their personalities at such a young age of, you know, even just kind of like, man, you get an idea of what they're going to be like as adults. So many things are already there, you know, contained inside of us from the time that we come into this life. And, but these skills, these talents, these abilities, and these gifts that are in us, God has put them there. They're part of us coming into this life. But what happens is with those gifts, you know, people can, they begin to start operating them a little bit out of, you know, human effort, human understanding, human intention. But just right there with that, right away you start to experience limitation. Because whatever the gift may be, it is bound by the limitation of a human vessel that, you know, has very little to work with. Now, those gifts can also be empowered. Those gifts can also be energized. And when they are, then the scope, the power, the ability in them goes up dramatically. Now, where can the power come from? Well, it depends on what you're plugged into. See, one thing that happens so often is that you know, the enemy of our souls recognizes that certain people have those. And so he tries to recruit people to his side. And usually what happens is he offers, you know, benefit in the world in exchange for that person's consent and free will bowing to the world and the world system. And in doing so, that person now is plugged into that, becomes a slave of that, and now whatever is going on with that person, that now there's access granted to the soul of that person, and spiritual powers can now flow through that person. And many times what happens is you will see the gifts that are in that person now being animated by something else. But for what purpose? With the way that it works with the world is when somebody gives themselves over to that, the purpose of them going to that side for the world is they now use the soul of that person and all the gifts that are in them to continue to build the world and the world system, to scalp other souls, to try to put out the light, to stand against truth, to keep light and truth from reaching the earth and from reaching the souls that would be saved. So there's that. But, you know, what happens is the power that's there, the spiritual power that's there, it becomes much more potent when they go to that side. And the other way that these gifts can be quickened, and this is actually by far the most powerful, is when a soul comes before the King of Kings. God calls that soul. And they harden not their heart, but they bow their knee before the King of Kings, and they bow themselves before the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and surrender their lives unto Him, and they pray, Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, You have Your way. I bow before the dominion of the King of Kings, the God Most High, the One that's above it all. I bow before Him, and Him alone do we serve. And when you do that, and you invite His Spirit to rule and reign in and through you, the gifts that are in you now become empowered by Him. Because just like when Jesus came into this world and walked on the earth, He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. And when He did what He saw God doing, when He was led by the Spirit, you know, from the very start it says He was led into the wilderness to be tempted, to be tested of the devil. He went through a whole series. Everything that Jesus did for His entire earthly ministry was in perfect step with the Spirit of God, with the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit, right place, right time, doing the right thing, the right way, according to what God was doing with and through and in Him. And in that process, you also see incredible power being manifest in and through His life. So with Peter, with Paul, when in Acts chapter 19, so here you see a case in point of a power encounters. You see a case in point where now Paul, under the Holy Ghost and under the leading and the guiding of the Holy Ghost, is speaking the truth and God confirming that truth in and through his life. And when God does these special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that, you know, from his body were brought under the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of people. You know, that is just, that's what God is doing in a unique situation, because the Spirit of God can work however He wants to or however He chooses to. Now, there were people that got fascinated with the power that they saw taking place with Paul, but they missed the source and the connection by which it came. So they see power taking place, and they see these miracles taking place. And so what happens is you get people that show up that say, wow, we want the power, but not the source. We want to take that which is going on, and we want to wield it and use it for ourselves and for our own purposes. And see, there's a dangerous thing that happens when people start to mess with spiritual power, but without proper connection. See, you want to be connected to the source. Jesus Christ is the Good Shepherd. His Holy Spirit is the one that watches over, you know, the people of God. To pursue. And I understand why people desire to expand themselves past the wall of their limitation, because there's something in us as eternal beings that we were created, and when we came into this life, we came into this dynamic into limitation, and we are far beyond the limitations of what this life and this world is. So there's a desire to, you know, be back into the state of which we are destined to be. And so I understand why there's that push. But to want to expand beyond the limitation we have in this life, but to try to do so without the connection to the source of life and light and truth, is to put yourself in harm's way. And, you know, the question that I have always is, where is the source? You know, where is something coming from? Because, you know, with Simon the Sorcerer, you know, there was a source of where his power was coming from. And, you know, with the magicians that Pharaoh had in his court when Moses showed up and started doing miracles, and they started doing, mirroring the same. And as Moses kept upping the ante, because God was leading him into that, it went from them first, you know, matching his miracles, to next not being able to do them, to next being affected by them, and being then they couldn't even stand before Moses because the power that was so great that was going on with him. So, you know, with the ante keeps getting upped, the power that's in the people of God keeps being seen and known and revealed, that we walk with and serve the greater power. But the key there is that we don't do that in and of ourselves. We are not manipulating or using this power. The reason that it also flows through us so powerfully is because we do that as ambassadors of the living God, as His body in the earth, as an extension of Him here. So obviously when you're connected to the source of life, the source of all things, the highest power that there is, that will flow through you and it will have the greatest impact in whatever's going on around you. Verse 13 in Acts chapter 19 is a great example of what happens when people try to exert power but without connection to the source. So then, verse 13, certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." And there were seven, now here's the thing, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth." So, again, you know, they're looking for a method. They're looking for something. They're looking for... Now, these guys, there's seven of them. And they do this. You know, this is what they do. They're exorcists. They go around and they, you know, cast out evil spirits. They do, they work in the realm of spiritual work, and as they do that, they're looking for, well, hey, wait, there's a new method here, there's a new thing that's going on here. Let's see if we can tap this for our purposes. Let's see if we can tap this for our own benefit. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Here's the thing, you know, with the enemy of our souls, he's also known as the deceiver, he's the liar, he's a trickster. And, you know, these guys were doing this for a little while before one day the devil called their card. And if you don't have connection to the source, if you're not being led and guided by the Spirit of God in the things that you do and how you do them, you are in harm's way. Plain and simple. And that is why you want to be connected up to the source. That is why you don't want to engage in things that is not what He is leading and guiding and directing you in and through. Because the desire to have power in and of oneself without connection to the source is a slippery slope. And what happens with the enemy is that there, for people that are intrigued by that, he begins to entice them. And he begins to take them down a particular line. And on a surface level, you know, some indicators that I always look for to see if where something is coming from. But sex, power, money, you know, so often what I've seen with things that are dressed up in a spiritual appearance, but, you know, usually one, two, or even all three of those at any given time are out of place or out of line. And those are on a surface level, because as people continue to go down the dark path, the way that they access greater and greater power is by being more and more evil, you know, and literally going to the, you know, next levels of being able to access and move in spiritual power that comes from that side. You know, you've got to be willing to do some pretty evil, heinous things, because they want to, you know, they want to know on their side that you know, you're fully committed, and that you are an agent of robbing, stealing, killing, and destroying, which is what the thief comes to do. So, you know, that's when you start getting into drinking of blood. That's when you start getting into the sacrificing of children. That's when you start getting into all of these human traumas and some of the worst acts of humanity, the worst acts of depravity that exist on the earth is also, those are the ones that also get to work with the darkest powers that are there, that the enemy has. Those are the ones that get recruited as the human agents to function as human emissaries of deceiving others and working with the demonic powers that are in the earth. So they get, you know, degrees of power, control, you know, material wealth in the world system, you know, given by that whole thing because they play ball. But, you know, on the side of light and truth, you know, we function under an entirely different kingdom. And for us, you know, we walk with the Spirit as He would lead and guide us. And in that process, we have our protection. In that process, we have our provision. You know, one thing God told me early on, up front, was He said, "I'll give you the need when it's needed." And I've seen this throughout my life, throughout the ministry that He's called me to, and the things that we do, throughout my working experience, throughout everything. The need has always been there when it's needed. Whatever it is that I've needed, God has always had it in my life when I've needed it. And I can look back and I can see His hand and His faithfulness in and through my life in each and every one of those areas. And whatever I've needed has always been there according to the Word of God. What, so it's you know, and that's a promise in the Word. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, speaking specifically in that context in Matthew 6, all these things shall be added unto you. The things that you need, God will take care of, and He's done that. So, you know, our goal in this life is not to amass in this world. Our goal in this life is to walk in connection with the Spirit of God right now. And out of that connection, to do whatever it is that the Spirit of God would have us to do. And if that doing is to rest, then you rest. If that doing is to work, then you work and you do whatever He has for you to do to work. If that doing is to encounter and to engage in the realm of spirit, then you encounter and engage in the realm of spirit, just like Paul did. But none of these things that we do are detached from the leading and the guiding of the Spirit of God. None of these things that we do are detached from His way that He flows through His people. Whereas in the world, they are detached. They're detached from life and light and truth. So the place that they are is either acting out of human intention and volition, or under the power of a deceiving, tricking, demonic spirit, or sometimes they just know exactly what they're doing, and they're going forward in that. But eventually what happens with all of those things is they crash and burn. And in this case, when, you know, in Acts 19, and as we read through verse 16, in the moment that the demonic, you know, called their bluff, there was no power in them to actually deal with that situation, and these guys took the thrashing of their lives and ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Verse 17 says, "And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." See, that's the thing. Ultimately, as you keep moving, people will realize truth is true. Reality is real. Jesus is Lord. And as you keep moving forward, You begin to realize the limitation of the lie. You begin to realize the limitation of doing things in and of yourself. And you begin to realize the limitation of a particular practice. And if it's not in your own experience, you understand through crashing and burning. See, the people of God, He leads and guides them. And we serve the greatest power. And anyone that has pursued truth for what it is will find Jesus. Verse 18, and many that believed came and confessed and shewed their deeds. And many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. And so mightily grew the word of God, and prevailed. See, that's the thing, is like, as people go forward in life, and in light, and in truth, there comes a point when, as it's revealed, that which is real and the strongest thing out there, you don't want a part in the deception anymore. You know, why did they go and burn their books and their that were of their curious arts? A lot of that stuff is actually curious. A lot of that stuff is actually intriguing. It's fascinating, but if it's ultimately built on a lie, what is that lie doing to you? If it's ultimately set on a deception, what does that deception do when it comes into your life and into your practice and into the way that you experience your time in the earth? What does that lie rob you of? What does that lie take the place of what truth? You know, one thing I've found with my own pursuit, as I'm continuing to walk with Christ and He's continuing to lead and guide me, as the Spirit of God continues to teach me all the time, is that so many of the most amazing truths of life and light and experience in our time in the earth are incredibly simple. Incredibly simple. And, you know, God has kept them simple. Yet there's great complexity in them, if you were to really dig in, and yet they're so simple. And God, I believe, has kept things so simple so that we can have and enjoy the experience. You know, God didn't make things have to be ridiculously complicated. You know, we make them complicated, but they don't need to be. You know, we make them difficult, but they don't need to be. And, you know, with Paul, as he was walking through, and as all these miracles were taking place with him, he was just doing what God led him to do. So as he went and as he preached, the words that came to him were the words that the Spirit of God gave him to speak. So, you know, just like right now, as I do this, I don't have a script. The Spirit of God flows through me. God quickens me, says, all right, it's time to speak. Turn on the recorder, turn it on. You know, grab the word that He gives me to give and start. And it all flows because the Spirit of God leads in that. It's simple. My role is just to, you know, walk in that connection. And as God would quicken, then I do it. And and the result, the success is in the obedience. As I do my part, that's it. I'm done. You know, that's why I don't need fanfare. We don't need fanfare. We don't need to have anything, be it big or small, because the success is in just walking with Him. Now, as Paul did what he did, and then the Spirit said, okay, now take this handkerchief and give it to these people and let them go over there, and and so he just did that, and they took it over, and then somebody would get healed. There was no programming of a method. It was fluid. It was in connection with the Spirit of God. It was a dance. It was play. It was enjoyable. It was fun. You know, the world, though, gets laborious and just, I can just see these seven sons of Sceva just lamenting and pining and trying to come up with new ways and new power because they kept running into the wall of their own limitation. That's why they were willing to even, listen, if what they were doing was working, then they wouldn't have tried to bring in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches. If what they were doing, now they were exorcists by profession, by trade, and yet if what they were doing was working and was producing the results, then they wouldn't have tried to bring in the name of Jesus. But people so often want to try to bring in Jesus' name, but they miss the source and they miss the actual connection. How many people in this country, now I'm you know, right now as I'm speaking this one, this audio, I'm in the United States, how many people have tried to bring their Jesus stamp out and stamp Jesus' name on a man-made initiative or a man-made ministry, but they miss the connection to him? They want to use Jesus for political gain. They want to use Jesus for financial gain. They want to use Jesus to try to build themselves in the world, and yet they miss the source of the power. They miss the source and the connection. And so they're trying to use him, but they don't know him. Jesus said, many will come to me on that day and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and that in your name? In Matthew 7, he says, I will tell them, you know, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I don't know you. Now that knowing is a consummation. We were never connected. We were never one. The prayer that Jesus prays in John 17 is that they may be one in us. So I am in the Father and the Father is in me, that they may be one in us. That's the prayer for us, that we may be one in him. And as we are made one in him and united in the Spirit, then there's no separation between us and him, because the Spirit of God consummates us with him, and we of our free will receive and accept that. So there's a oneness, there's a union. Then we are truly his ambassadors in the earth. And what we do is play. What we do is enjoy. What we do is whatever he leads and guides us into in this moment right now. And in that, the power flows. In that, the manifestations flow. In that, the gifts that you have within you, they're expressed in incredible ways. But they're expressed as the Spirit of God leads it, not as you would will and desire to do it. Like, for example, right now, we've not, you know, come forward with anything, any spoken word for a little bit. Why? Because we haven't. But then today, you know, in obedience, quickened to do something, and there it is. This is not a man-made thing. This is as God leads it. So in that expression, there's you flow with him. We do as God would have for us to do, but it's not based on human experience and not based on human agendas. We have no agenda. Our will and our desire is just to follow him. And in that, we're free. In that, the challenges that we experience are the ones that God intends for us to have. The things that we encounter are the things that God would intend for us to encounter for his purposes and plan, and for us to continue to go from glory to glory and from strength to strength. But realize that a pursuit of power apart from him is a dangerous thing. And you will run smack dab into the limitation of the human experience, which is apart from him. And the other side of it too is, you know, with the enemy of your soul, he tries to pull people down a line of deception to take them away from God. Now, if you are seeking truth and you are called by his name, if you're looking for truth, you know, you're going to find it. But one of the best prayers to pray too is just say, Lord God, if I'm missing it in any way, shape, or form, please correct me. Please lead me. Please guide me. Show me things for what they are. But be not deceived, brothers and sisters in Christ. There's a lot of things swirling around out there. But when you walk with God, and when you walk as led by the Spirit of God, you have in that moment everything that you need. And all you need is just to call out to him and bring whatever it is that's going on with you in front of you. If you're a 12-year-old kid, you can shut down a nation. Or you can open one up. You know, Elijah was a man just like us, and he prayed. And it didn't rain for 3 years. You know, we are men and women. We are people that walk with the Spirit of God. When we do what God has for us to do, incredible things happen. I know from my own experience, the places that God sent me and the places that He has, you know, equipped me to go and, you know, had His angels go with me and surround me and protect me and enable certain things to happen. We've changed as the Spirit of God has led us into it, what's gone on in countries, multiple countries around the world. Have we done it in ourselves? No. That's why we would never, you know, say, oh, look what we did. No, it's the Spirit of God working through us. But we've been His ambassadors in spaces, and we've been allowed to experience and to see what that is because we walk with God. But we've already seen and known far greater power than any of the worlders that we know of have could even imagine. So we already know we serve the greater one. We already know that we walk in that, and it's very simple for us, which is we flow with God. God leads us, we go. God gives us a word to speak, we speak it. We do what the Spirit of God has for us to do, and we trust Him with the results. And we also understand the trick of the enemy, and we make that known so that those that have a heart to see, an ear to hear, a desire to understand, that they can know. And we proclaim that there's a better way, and there's a greater way, and that way is Jesus Christ. And with that, we love you guys. God bless you. Hey, keep on keeping on. Drop us an email. Say hi, faithmix@gmail.com. Or you can write us through Facebook. We got a page. Hey, we love you guys. We'll talk to you soon. God bless you. Bye.